Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church on this very special day. A special welcome to all our visitors, and if you are visiting with us for the first time and would like more information on our church, there are cards in the back of the pews you can fill out and place in the collection plate when it's passed around later on. On a special announcement, we want to keep the Soya family in our prayers as we lost Kate this week suddenly. Her funeral will be Wednesday here at the church. Visitation will be from 10 to 11:30. The funeral will be at 11:30, and burial will follow at Spring Lake at 2 o'clock. One other announcement, there'll be a special meeting of the new bill committee in the fellowship hall right after church. Father's Day service will be next Sunday. Missions night will be on Wednesday. And let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for all that You have given us. We ask that You wrap Your arms around this Soya family and comfort them during this time. We ask that You be with Pastor Jacob as he delivers our message. We ask that You heal all those who are sick and just help them to feel better. All these things we ask in Your holy name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing the chorus, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this Place," and then we'll sing hymn number 514, "When We All Get to Heaven," which I think is the perfect homecoming hymn. So let's stand and join in singing, "Surely the Presence."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this wonderful day. Use these tithes and offerings as you see fit to further spread your word. And if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, help them to find their way. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It is so good to look out across this beautiful sanctuary and see so many familiar faces, many who we have not seen in 3 years. We welcome you to our homecoming service as we thank God for the blessings He has bestowed upon His church the past 63 years. Had it not been for the vision of the Board of Deacons of Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church and the charter members that began this ministry back in 1959, we most likely would not be gathered here for this special occasion today. I would like to ask that all charter members and their family members stand at this time so we may recognize you. Thank you. On the back of your homecoming bulletin insert, there is a list of our new members, our births, and those that the Lord has called home since our last homecoming on November the 3rd, 2019. The red roses in the sanctuary this morning are in honor of those births, and the white roses are in memory of those the Lord has called home. And we would ask that the families take their rose home with them at the conclusion of today's service. The beautiful flowers on the remembrance table in front of the pulpit are in honor of Miss Violet Bullard for her faithful commitment and dedication to preserving the history of Tramway Baptist Church the past 63 years. A few weeks ago, our homecoming committee asked me if I would share some reflections on what Tramway Baptist Church meant to me. But full disclosure, there aren't adequate words to convey what this fellowship means to me. In fact, following Jimmy Johnson's homegoing service 6 weeks ago, Michael Boston and myself made our way back here to the church and spent some time reminiscing our younger years growing up here at Tramway, recalling the many faithful saints who had poured a true labor of love into this church. Without question, these individuals made a lasting impression on my life and inspired me to be the man I am today. As Michael and I ended our conversation that afternoon, I said to him, "I guess I'm just too emotionally attached to the church." But as I gave more thought to what reflections I might share this morning, my mind traveled back to years gone by. Agnes Davis rocking me as a babe in the nursery, sitting in Violet's lap playing the piano, Elder Russ and many of you here today teaching me in Sunday school and Bible school, and yes, driving Patsy and Sherry crazy with Father Abraham year after year, which me and Pastor Jacob are on the hook for this year, in case you didn't know. Edna Pilsen, Velva Norton, Irene Payne, and many others handing me Kool-Aid and cookies through the walk-up window that was outside the breezeway of the fellowship hall that has long been bricked up. Recreational activities on the former basketball court and tennis court, and all the softball games that Barney Cranford coached. Elders like Ben Riggs, Bill Moore, Lawrence Coe, and Carl Norton always being in their Sunday best, greeting you as you enter the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. Building picnic tables and other mission projects while in the youth program with Peggy and Tabby Myers, to where I am today, serving alongside many of you who patiently taught and guided me along the way. Recalling these precious memories, as well as each time I visit our history room, the hymn "Precious Memories" plays through my mind. The fourth verse of this beloved hymn says, "As I travel on life's pathway, knowing not what the years may hold, as I ponder, hope grows fonder. Precious memories flood my soul." Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. I thank God for the memories we have made as a church family here at Tramway and look forward with great anticipation to those memories yet to be made. To quote Philippians 1 and 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Thank you again for your presence here today, and may God continue to bless Tramway Baptist Church.
Good morning. It's not quite time for the sermon yet, kids. Hold on just a little while longer. One of the things we're going to be talking about this morning during the sermon is people who have faithfully served their church, why they do it, what that looks like, and things like that. And today, maybe it's always been like this, but I don't know. But today it's hard to find people who are faithful and dedicated, and they show up every Sunday. They show up when they're in a good mood. They show up when they're in a bad mood and just are dedicated to their spot at the church. And so this morning, we're going to honor somebody who has been doing that Sunday after Sunday for over 60 years. So, Miss Violet, I'm going to need you to come up here for a minute. Come on. Come here. Don't be mad at me. We're going to honor Miss Violet this morning because she has faithfully served as a church historian. And it's not just about that, but we want to hold that up. And this is an example of what a church member should want to do. Find a place of service and be faithful into it time after time. Did you always feel like doing that? Maybe. Whether you did or didn't, you kept coming and coming. So the church has put together something special for you. Would you like to open it now or do you want to wait? She'll wait. I didn't ask y'all. Okay. This is a gift that the church has put together because they love you and they appreciate you and all of your service here. All right. Okay. This is heavy. I want you to let Travis carry this. All right, now it's time for the sermon and the kids can escape. All right, the rest of y'all can open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's very nice to see all of you. There's some of you that I recognize, some of you that I don't recognize. Maybe some of y'all are here because you're a charter member. Maybe some of you are here because you have family that comes here and you wanted to be here with them on Homecoming Sunday. Some of you probably came because you thought that there was going to be a big meal after service. You'll just have to read your updates from the church more faithfully. So this week, I kind of struggle because I'm like, what do you preach about at homecoming? You know, it's not a normal Sunday, but you don't want to have like a really cheesy sermon that don't really have any meat on it. You know, so this week I'm thinking, what do I talk about? And almost every homecoming service that I've ever sat through, the preacher talked about the passage with the great cloud of witnesses, and I just didn't want to do that. So I'm looking through the scriptures, and I'm thinking, you know, what can we talk about? And so as some of you are getting more and more excited about homecoming and seeing people and honoring Miss Violet, I started hearing all of these stories for the last 2 weeks. And that's what I got to thinking about. So I heard about Mrs. Peggy Coe and Mrs. Velva Norton, and I understand that they were like these master cooks who ran the kitchen. Is that true? And people told me about the different things they would cook for harvest sale or different church functions. And then I don't know which one it was, but apparently if you didn't get your mess out the fridge, it was getting thrown away. And people were describing to me how talented they were at cooking. And then Travis sent me a picture. Y'all had a cookbook? that had their pictures on there. Look, some of y'all can cook, but when they put your picture on the cookbook of a Southern Baptist church, that's like a whole, like you didn't put a picture of the church, you just put a picture of these two ladies. So that's like a whole other level of cooking. I heard about Mr. Gilbert Riddle, and I understand that he was like a master woodworker. And people told me about different things that he had made for the church, things that were sold at the harvest sale, and then people told me about different pieces that he had made, and I found out that he actually made the pulpit up here. And somebody pulled me aside, and they were talking about it, and they said, have you ever noticed how there's places right here for pencils? And I said, I had noticed that. I didn't know what that was for. And they said that he had told somebody, there's a spot for pencils because we all make mistakes, and they can be erased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I'm going, how did I miss these pencil places? But they talked about how he and a couple of other men, like Mr. Buller, would make things out of wood for the church. And, you know, they had fond memories of that. I heard about a Mrs. Christian Holt, who apparently made quilts for the harvest sale and made quilts all the time. And I have to admit that when I first got here, I thought a quilt was just like another kind of blanket. And when I said that, Mrs. Mildred almost snatched me up and she had to set me straight. So I have a new appreciation for quilts. And I heard about all these ladies who spent countless hours in the nursery and teaching Sunday school. And look, if I forgot your favorite person, don't be mad at me. I've only been here for a year, and a lot of these folks aren't with us anymore. But so as I'm thinking about these stories this week, I thought, here's the point of the sermon. Why did they do all that stuff? You know, when you look at today, and a lot of times when you look at people that are younger, they don't have as much interest in doing stuff like that. I'm probably going to have a tough time getting another church historian to work for 63 years, Miss Violet. You know, it's tough to get people to volunteer or agree to serve or to do things that aren't fun or to do things that take lots of love and time or resources. And so my question is, you know, if people did that so much back then, why did they do it? How did that happen? What made those people want to serve their church in this way? So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to read y'all verses 2 through 5. This is Paul, and he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Now, there's something kind of odd about this passage, all right? Paul talks about two things that they did. He talks about works of faith and labors of love, which I think, you know, I've never made a quilt, but it sounds like that would be a labor of love. And we have all these other examples where people have served here at the church in different roles, you know, labors of faith and love. But what's interesting is Paul doesn't really thank those people in this passage. Who does he thank? He thanks God. Look, okay, we give thanks to God always for all of you. And then he talks about the things. And I thought, that's kind of odd. You know, if I had did that, if I were to make a quilt and spend hours and hours and hours, and you thank somebody else besides me, I might have a problem with that. You know, if Miss Beverly came over and brought me one of my favorite things that she cooks, a plate of fried pork chops, and I said, thank you so much, to her husband, she might go, whoa, wait a minute. Why is Paul thanking God instead of these people who did these labors of love and acts of faith? What is he trying to teach us here? What's going on? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The reason that he calls us Christ's workmanship, and we've talked about this, is because when you become a believer, when you get saved, God starts to change you, right? The Holy Spirit comes in and starts to mold you and change you. You start acting different. You start caring more about different things. Your priorities rearrange. And what's going on is the reason that Paul thanks God for these labors, these acts of love, is because the reason those people did those things, it's because Christ has come into their life and changed them. And in fact, Christ created them, changed them, and molded them for these good works. The reason that they do them, the reason that they want to do them, is because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God's molding them and giving them the desire to do those things. If you're a believer, if you serve Jesus Christ, He's your Lord and Savior, He didn't just create you to get fire insurance and exist and go to work every day and then retire and die. That's not why He made you. He made you to do these good works that He set up beforehand. You were made to do things for the Lord. And so you say, okay, well, what kind of things am I supposed to be doing? Look at Matthew 5:16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Here's what you're here for. You are here, and if Christ has saved you, He has saved you and changed you so that you can do works and live your life in a way that points others towards Jesus Christ and they give glory to God. People should look at you and look at what you do or how you spend your time and go, man, something is different about that person. What's going on with them? Oh, it's because they're a Christian. There must be something to this God thing. They should look at how you spend your time or your resources, and it should lead them on a trail towards your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's what Christ has changed you to do, is to live in a way that glorifies God, that points people to Christ. And so you might say, well, okay, but I'm not great at woodworking. I'm not good at keeping up with history. I can't teach Sunday school. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. That is a lame cop-out and excuse. Every single person has things that they are good at or talented at. God has given you things, and you would be amazed at how someone can have a talent or something they're good at that seems insignificant or not churchy, and God can use that for His glory and to build His kingdom. I'll give you some examples. I have a friend, okay? This lady will never teach Sunday school. She'll never preach or anything like that. But she is like this amazing, wait for it, decorator. Okay? Now you hear that and you're going, okay, this is dumb. You've lost me. But listen, her talent is when her church has vacation Bible school, she decorates the craziest children's decorations. And when the kids come in, they lose their mind. They're just in awe and go, wow, this church has put so much effort into this VBS for me. The kids don't say that, but that's what they feel. When the church has a function for senior adults, she comes in and does these crazy decorations, and I have seen senior adults come in and tears come to their eyes because it reminds them of things from the past, or they come in and get super duper excited. And that skill that she has, she uses that at her church. There's been so many times where I had a function or an event, I can't decorate, I can't do that. And I would just call this lady, and she would go, I know exactly what I'm going to do. And then, boom, she transforms a church into something crazy. People who did not come to our church would hear about these events and come and hear devotions, hear the gospel preach. I know another person who this man will never in a million years teach Sunday school. He does not want to be the center of attention, but he is a genius at fixing things and construction. He is 84 years old, and he will work anybody in this room under the table. He never ever wants to teach. He's scared of that. But every single week, do you know what he's doing? He's building wheelchair ramps for people who need them. Or he goes on trips and does roofing work. An 84-year-old man that wants to climb on roofs and fix poor people's roofs. I know, it stressed me out too. He would go under their house and fix things in their house. See, what he was good at, what he had is God made him wonderful at construction and fixing things. And so what he did, he said, here's what I got. How can I use this for the Lord and my church? And that's what he does. You can't stop this guy. He's always looking to fix something for somebody. And, you know, as a youth minister, I'll tell you something else. I had so many people that would come to me and say, listen, if you go on a trip and you have a child who can't afford to go, don't you let that child miss that trip. You call me, I'm going to pay for it. Or they'd say, if the youth goes out to eat lunch or dinner, I'll pay for it. No questions asked. Multiple people, if you ever need anything for the youth, I'll write the check. And now some of you are sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that's some rich guy. No, they weren't. There's a difference between being rich and being generous. The two don't always go together. And so some people, their gift, their resource is their finances. And they say, okay, the Lord's blessed me with this. How can I use this to build God's kingdom or to help God's people? And we can go on and on and on. There's all these examples, but these folks have taken what they have and they use it to build the kingdom, to build their church. And the reason that their focus is there is because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important to them. That's their priority. Now, I want to show you something else cool. Look back at our verse where it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now look at the second part of the sentence. This is really neat to me. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not just that, well, I happen to be good at this, so I'm going to randomly find some ways to help my church. No. Way back, at the beginning of time, God knows everything. He knows what his people are going to need. He knows what his church is going to need. God lined up these different ways for us to serve him and grow his kingdom. And so when you think about people that have these gifts, these talents, to me, it makes it more special. So let me give you an example. Way back at the beginning of time, God knew that there was going to be a Tramway Baptist Church, right? You're with me? And so God knew, okay, the church is going to need this, and that. An example, God knew they're going to need a pulpit and they're going to need a communion table. And so I'm going to create someone who is good at woodworking and carpentry, and at this ordained time, he is going to make a pulpit and a communion table that's going to sit in that sanctuary while my word is preached. Or maybe there's a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker, and the Lord at the beginning of time knew, you know what, this kid's going to be in that Sunday school, and he's going to be a handful, and his parents at the end of his rope, I'm going to make a Sunday school teacher who's incredibly patient and loving and knows my word, and I'm going to set it up so that she is teaching when this troublesome rograt is in that class. Maybe God knew that, my church over there in Tramway, they're going to need to do this or that to pay for a building. They're going to have harvest sales. I'm going to make some ladies, and their gift is going to be cooking. And people in that area are going to like their cooking so much that they're going to show up for this or that. Now, some of you may roll your eyes. When we had the harvest sale in the fall and didn't do chicken dumplings, I had two people call me to ask if we were doing that. And when I said, no, not this year, they hung up on me. Okay? But to me, it makes it more special, and it makes me more impressed with God that it's not just that we happen to have a couple of talents and stumble through life looking for ways to serve God. Now, this is part of the plan. You have gifts, every single one of you, and God has set the dominoes up. He's put things in place. so that you can use your gifts for His glory and to point people towards Jesus Christ. And so I don't know what homecoming is about for you, but for me, it's kind of like a celebration of that. It's not that we're sitting here and we're patting ourselves on the back saying, look what we did. It's more like we're here going, man, look what God did. Look at these people that we knew and we love, and we're celebrating how God used those people to build His kingdom in some random crazy ways. Some teach, some keep the nursery, some people cook, some people make things out of wood. But look at how God took all these people from our congregation and used them for His glory. For me, that's what homecoming's about. And so here's my question for you this morning, because I don't want to give you just a cheesy, feel-good homecoming sermon. What are you doing for the Lord? What talent of yours are you taking and saying, Lord, here's what you've blessed me with. Lord, here's what you made me good at. What of that are you taking and using to build His kingdom and to reach lost people? As you sit there and kind of think about it, look at your life, look at what you're good at. Can you point to something? Can you say, this is how the Lord's blessed me, and so this is how I'm serving His church? This is how I'm building His kingdom? If you can think of something, great. But if you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know. You know what, Jacob? I'm really busy because I have kids and I still have to work and I've got all these responsibilities. I'm pretty sure that all the people we've talked about this morning probably had kids and responsibilities. But here's the thing. You make time for what you want to. It's just the bottom line. If it's important to you, you will make time for it. If it's a priority for you, you will work it out. And this matters. There's this parable that Jesus tells. I don't have time to go over like all of it. Here's basically how it goes. He says that this master was leaving town for a while, and so he took three of his servants and gave them all different amounts of talents. You know, he gave one this many, and he gave one a little bit less, and he gave one person only one talent. And it says that he went out of town, and when he came back, that the guy that he gave much to said, look, I took what you gave me and made much with it. And then the second guy goes, well, I took what you gave me and, you know, I made a little bit more with it. And with those guys, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. See, we say that a lot at funerals, but we forget where it comes from. But with the third guy, the one that had one talent, well, that guy just buried it. You know, I think he says that he was afraid of the master because he was harsh, so he just, you know, buried it in the ground so he wouldn't lose it. He didn't do anything with it. And the master was furious with that guy. He throws him out in the outer dark, calls him a wicked servant, throws him out in the outer darkness. And so, let me break that down for you. Here's where we are in the story. Our master's, you know, he's not here right now. He's coming back, though. And he has given each of us different talents. And I hope that when it's your time, whether Jesus comes back and you're still here, or whether He calls you home and you stand before Him, I hope that you can say, Lord, here's the talent that you gave me. Here's what I did with it. Here's how I grew your kingdom. And He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want you to stand before the Lord and say, well, I didn't do anything with it. That's not going to go well. And so this morning, you know, I want you to think about this. How am I serving? These people that we look up to, that we've talked about, these people that we esteem, don't just put them on a pedestal and say, man, that's wonderful that they do that. No, you need to say, how can I be faithful like that? The reason that they did that is because they have a relationship with Jesus. The Lord's working on them. The Lord's using them. You need to say, okay, am I doing something like that? And if I'm not, why am I not? Why don't I have a desire to serve or use my talents? And I'm fine to talk with you about that later if we need to. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. Some of us are called to be up in front of people or to be teachers or things like that. And some of us have gifts that are kind of behind the scenes. They're not in front of everybody. And sometimes when that's your thing, you can kind of feel overlooked. Maybe they don't appreciate me as much. Maybe they take me for granted, you know. But this scripture tells us that regardless, the Lord has not overlooked that. The Lord sees your faithfulness. He's not going to forget that. He notices and he will not forget. And for those of you who maybe you've been serving in the same function for a long, long time and you're worried because, you know, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you feel like, I just don't think they're ever going to get it. I prepare a lesson every single Sunday and I don't see any growth. Or maybe you work for children and you just feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm not doing a good job. I'm trying my best, but they're not getting it. Or maybe your thing is, I don't know. All of you are hopefully serving in different ways, but sometimes you can think, maybe this is not working out. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And now listen, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If you're taking your talents, your gifts, and you're sincerely trying to serve the Lord to build His kingdom and reach people for Christ, don't worry about whether it's going to work out or not. The Lord's going to see to that. That's up to the Lord. And you know what? He always has His way. So don't be discouraged. Don't be frustrated. You just keep faithfully and sincerely serving Him and pointing others towards Jesus Christ, and He'll work that out. So in just a second, we're going to come up, we're going to have an invitational hymn, and I'm just going to encourage you to look at your life and say, man, am I one of them people that when I'm gone, they're going to be saying, look at how they faithfully served? Or am I one of those people that I'm just burying my talent and keeping it to myself?